Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
And welcome into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode, Marquise Munson taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Fellas, what's going on?
Just another day waiting for another thunderstorm.
Yeah, that is true. There could be some bumpy weather tonight, which, like, can we get a break? Come on. Like, I'm about tired of that stuff. The rain, I think we talked about it last week, Joe. It feels like we live in Seattle. There's just rain all the time lately.
Yeah, I think we are getting a break after this, hopefully, and some actual warmth. So, you know, for people doing the right thing and socially distancing, you know, some good days to, you know, go take a walk or, you know, play catch with your kid. Whatever it may be, at least after we get through today, hopefully.
Munson, how did you socially distance yourself yesterday? What are you watching right now?
I'm mostly taking a nap for the most part. I'm mostly asleep. Like, I try to just sleep my way through this whole process because I have no sports. And, yeah, I have to, you know, get ready for the show, too. So I try not to, like, get into a show because when I get into a show, I get into it. So I don't want to, like, you know, distract myself. So I usually wait for my show watching on the weekends where I have enough time to just kind of sit back, relax, and kind of focus and zoom, hone in on that show instead of, like, you know, I'm watching The Wire and trying to keep up with The Wire, but also trying to get ready for this show too. So that's why I try to, like, this is nap time for me.
So usually. You only believe in true binging.
Like, true binging. Like, but not even true binging. It's just, like, I don't want to start season one of The Wire, like, on a Monday, and then all of a sudden I have to, like, stop it, like, episode two, and then focus on something else, and then get back to episode three. I'll be too busy, and then get episode three, like, on Wednesday. So I like to binge properly, Joe.
Yeah, that's cool. I understand that.
Strategic binging is what I like to call it.
I'm trying to think of the, you know, obviously binging didn't used to be really possible, and now it's, like, all anybody does, you know? Like, I think the first time we binged was Lost. You guys watched Lost?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Didn't watch the first season. Then I think the second season we had, like, the DVD and watch. And then that was one of those things where it's like, oh, my gosh, it's 4 in the morning. All right, one more. You know? And now it's how, like, a lot of people watch shows now is just rip through them. Like, what do you guys Ozark. You guys watch Ozarks by chance?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think the new season's coming out soon on that, which is exciting. And needed.
It is exciting.
It's needed.
Yeah, it's very good timing on their part. And a lot of people throughout this process have discovered 24, and a lot of people my age, which I have loved 24 for like 15 years. So I'm glad that people are, like, catching up to Jack Bauer and, like, the awesomeness that is the show 24, because that's one of the best shows of all time, Joe.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know what? That's one of those I've never watched, which is crazy. I don't even know why, but maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to jump on board. Because now, isn't the guy from The Office now plays Jack Bauer, or is that some? Am I wrong? No, on
Jack
that?
Bauer is played by Kiefer Sutherland. So,
yeah, right in 24.
Yes.
Who? What does the guy from The Office play? He plays. I'm gonna figure. This
I don't
out.
Know.
That's a new show, kind of new show. I'll figure this out.
You figure that out.
Yes.
Well, Joe, we were talking yesterday about Team Canada announcing their decision that they are not going to be sending summer athletes to the Olympic Games in Tokyo this summer. And we said, you know what, maybe this is a domino effect for other countries around the world. It looks like they're not going to have a domino effect because I believe – the IOC is going to make that decision for them. It looks like the Olympics are going to be postponed. USA Today reporting that yesterday, that they will be postponed most likely to 2021. They're still going to spend the next few weeks, kind of mapping that out and letting everybody know what that looks like officially. But, Joe, I don't think a huge surprise that the Olympics will be postponed. I really don't think, as we said yesterday, there was much of a decision to make in that aspect.
Yeah. I mean, it's still, you know, Dick Pound, and, you know, apparently a lot of people out there, you know, are just discovering, you know, IOC member Dick Pound. He's been doing it forever, but, you know, of course, his name's going to trend on Twitter as soon as people start talking about his name. But he's the one who said that to, I believe, to Christine Brenner from USA Today. Now, the IOC VP, Anita de France, says she hasn't heard anything about it being postponed. So, you know, she said it would be news to me, but, I mean, he has said, first of all, it's not going to start July 24th. That's that much I know.
Yeah.
So it'll be very soon that it'll be the official word. I assume the official word would be it'll be 2021. You know, there's still, for whatever reason, there's still people that don't want to fully commit to that. Again, I know that there are a lot of logistics in place here. And it's, so, I mean, you know, it's not like it's urgent to say it right now, but then again, it's just going to be on the other side of this, more countries, you know, pulling out, complaining, making this noise about it when we all know where it's headed, you know, so it's just kind of a matter of making it official, but Dick Pound gets out front of things there.
He does, and he's, as you can imagine, that was a popular topic of discussion on Twitter yesterday. It just kind of feels like they've been delaying the inevitable. Like, we all knew that this was going to happen at some point in time here, and you look at everything going on in the world of sports right now, and, I mean, heck, even football season has come into question at this point. Like, is it going to start on time? Are you going to have to approach it differently than you do in years past? So, when you have an event, and I get the logistical part of it, and there are nightmares that you have to deal with from that aspect of it, and I understand that. But, you know, an event that happens every 4 years, you can move it back a year. At the end of the day, it's probably not going to be that big a deal. It's still going to be able to go on in Tokyo at that point, at least you would assume so and hope so, by that point in 2021, that we're ready to get back to normal and to be talking about the Olympic Games, looking forward to the Olympic Games. So I don't really think there's much harm in delaying it a year. I get the logistical part of it, but I think we got a lot of smart people in this world, a lot of smart people on the Olympic Committee. They can work through that.
Yeah. No, they'll it's just, I mean, it's amazing to even think, you know, that in the summer of 2021, what will things look like? I mean, we've already, I think your mind can wander a little bit on what this could look like. And also, I mean, you know, if you read enough stuff out there, and I try to keep it to, you know, people who actually do this for a living, not people who, like, say that they're data experts. But, you know, you can read enough stuff and kind of think about the idea of, you know, if we go back too quickly, does that mean we're just going to come back to this situation at some point and keep, you know, because obviously this is terrible economically right now, but, you know, there's a lot of possible outcomes, it seems like, out there, and a lot of it is based on our behavior right now and whether we can really get a hold of this and keep it so that our healthcare system isn't overwhelmed. If we can do that, it seems like you do have this natural progression to easily have the Olympics in 2021 and be fine there. And by then, sports will have started. And, you know, like you said, football season, I mean, you hope we can figure it out by then. It's almost like we've moved beyond the NBA and NHL postseason. Those are like afterthoughts. And we don't know. We don't know that those aren't happening in some form, but you start, you know, looking, you know, beyond everything, and it's easy to let your mind race on what this could look like. I think there's a lot of possible outcomes here.
Joe, what summer Olympic sport will you miss the most to watch?
Huh, that's a good question. I mean, you know, I'm a huge, I mean, I was lucky enough to cover three and be at some pretty amazing you know, events, watching Bolt run and Phelps swim and Ledecky swim, Biles, you know, on the mat. I will say that, like, live gymnastics is crazy. Like, it's just incredible, you know.
Yeah.
The pressure, but also, again, like, stuff that most people wouldn't even imagine trying. So I do like that a lot. Of course, you know, I love basketball too. I'm big. I really like the swimming. It's one of those things. I think for a lot of people, like, there's sports that maybe you just don't follow, you know, for 3 years and 49 weeks of a 4 year period that you don't pay attention to. But for those, you know, 2-3 weeks in the Olympics, you were all in on swimming or on running. And I just think some of those events with great swimmers can just be unbelievable, you know. But it's the same with the track. I mean, those are the two. I mean, that's really, to me, that's the foundation of the Olympics is the pool and the track. And then there's a lot of other interesting stuff out there. I mean, you know, I covered some stuff that I had no clue what I was looking at, you know, until – even like synchronized diving and synchronized swimming, you know, which,
oh, yeah,
like, people make fun of that stuff. My gosh, that's hard. Like, these, you know, it's incredible how much work goes into it, and like the precision that you have to have for that stuff is, it really is unbelievable.
Joe, there was a, like, last time the Olympics were on and I was watching Simone Biles do all the things that she does, I got to a point where I think a lot of us get to where, you know, I could sit there and I could watch gymnastics and it's very impressive what they're able to do, but, like, I don't really know what I'm looking at in terms of how the judges are scoring things.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm watching it, and without having, like, the vast knowledge of what they're going to deduct points for and all this other stuff, I just got to the point where I was counting, okay, how many different times throughout this routine would I have a minor to major muscle injury if I attempted to do it? And I, you know, the count was staggering at one point. I think I got up to, like, in a single routine, right around 19 to 20 times where I thought, if I tried this, there would be a major injury involved on my part. So it's really impressive what they're able to do.
No, it's like, I don't even know how you get to the point of, let's try this today. You know, like,
I know, right?
Like, I have a buddy who has, you know, daughters in gymnastics, and one of them is good enough to be, like, a, you know, a college gymnast, you know. And even at that, they actually were here in Nashville last February and had an event out at Opryland, and it was just unbelievable, you know, and at that level. And it's like, where, how do you progress to, okay, now we're going to try to flip here on this tiny little bar, you know, that you're most people wouldn't even, like, be able to walk on it, you know, halfway. So then you take that and say, okay, now train for years and years and years, and then your entire, like, life as an athlete doing this stuff, which is astounding, is going to come down to, you know, this moment in front of everyone, and good luck. You know, all the pressure in the world's on your shoulders right now. It's not, there aren't many athletes that honestly can, you know, have to do that, and that's why Olympic athletes in general, you know, you think about it, really, it's a, you know, every 4 year proposition, that's a ton of pressure.
Joe, we have a text in on the text line. We were talking about the shows earlier, the guy from The Office doing a show similar to 24.
Yeah.
It's Jack Ryan. That's the show on Amazon that they're talking about.
Thank
Jack
you.
Ryan.
Now, and Jack Ryan, yes. I think, is that a Tom Wolfe character, I think, from, you know, like, Jack Ryan's been in a lot of movies, right? I think that's right.
Tom Clancy. Yes, yes, yes.
Not Tom Wolfe. Tom Clancy. My gosh. Tom, we got Clancy. Jack Bauer. Yes. We got Tom Wolfe. We got Tom Clancy. We got Jack. Yeah, Ryan. Okay. See?
We need some
new
Krasinski
first names. Yeah, there you go. Krasinski. And by the way, yes, the new Quiet Place sequel is coming out. Anybody excited about this?
Yes. I did see the first one. That was a very strange movie to go watch in a theater, but I kind of enjoyed it.
It's freaky.
So it was good.
It was good.
Speaking of freaky, the LA Rams have come out with a new logo. We'll talk about that next. And what are some of the worst jerseys or logos that you've ever witnessed in the world of sports? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102. And welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. And Joe, yesterday the LA Rams came out with their new logos. And to be honest with you, it looked like something that either myself or Marquise or somebody, like, we went to like WordArt on our computers and just kind of came up with this logo. It was almost Marquise. It was one of those, I don't know if you ever played like Madden, where you can create a new team and come up with your own like logo.
Yeah, when you move cities and then all of a sudden you got to come up with a new logo. That's pretty much what the Rams are.
That's basically what it looked like there. I mean, it was so bad. And there were some leaks that came out a couple weeks ago about the Rams' new logo, and they're not exactly the same as like those leaks were. But man, they look really bad. I know that's really like every time like a brand or a team, they come out with a new logo. Very rarely are you like, oh man, that looks great. Like a lot of times it just grows on you.
I'm glad you said that.
After time goes by. But my initial reaction when I saw this was like, man, that looks really, really bad. But maybe I'll look at it in 5 months and be like, okay, it's not so bad.
That's what I was trying to think of, Robbie. Like I can't remember a new logo or uniform being unveiled and, oh wow, everyone loves it. It looks great. I mean, when Nashville SC came out with their stuff, I heard all these people complaining about it. Like, oh, what are they doing? And I'm like, what? I don't know. It seems fine to me. This is one of those things that I guess is totally over my head. But like, I just don't get emotional about this stuff or really react. Like, I have no thought on the Rams logo. It seems, I don't know, seems okay. You know, like, I don't think
Joe, this is the most divisive topic in sports. This really is. Like, people, the jerseys that people wear or the logos that teams come out with. I mean, I think there is so much, like, strong opinions one side or the other. Like, even when the Titans came out with their new jerseys, there are some people that absolutely love it, and there are some people that were just, like, beside themselves at how angry they were when the Titans came out with their new jerseys and how awful they thought it was.
Well, and it is. It's divisive. It's also one thing, you know, I've learned in this business is that if you write about uniform stuff, like, people go nuts about it. People want to read it so much. And, you know, when you mentioned the Titans stuff, I remember, like, at the Tennessean, you know, we had like the pictures and, you know, the Titans kind of like, you know, it's like you give news outlets the photos and stuff, and there's like an embargo time for everybody that can, you know, now you can put it on your site, release it, whatever. And I mean, it was just incredible, the response of people wanting to look at these things. It's and then, you know, like previously, like the college and I know it's pro too, but I think it's still more of a college thing, is like the Nike Pro Combat, you know, the alternative uniform trend in college, which of course is, you know, it's a marketing thing, it's a money making thing. I almost 90%, and like, again, I don't like get excited about new uniforms that much, but I hate most of those. I hate, like, if you have a cool, like, classic college uniform, like Ohio State has, right? Like, everybody knows what Ohio State is, right?
Right,
and they have these alternative uniforms that are like, what? Now you look like an arena league team, you know? Just be Ohio State. That's that, again. This is like old guy yelling at cloud now, but that's
Michigan State came out with a doozy of awful. A jersey a couple of years ago. It was so bad.
Well, we may be talking about different things. You're talking about those stuff with like the lime on it. Is
yes,
that right. That was bad.
Yes,
but actually, I hated, and this is one of those things. I got into like, you know, Twitter wars with Michigan State fans about the pro combats that they wore when Kirk Cousins was there. Like they beat Michigan in these uniforms, and they really looked like the little army men that you played with, you know, as a kid. The you know, those little plastic army men, and you know, Michigan State fans went nuts. Oh, these are amazing! I'm like, these are stupid. They're green and white. I mean, they have uniform. Wear your freaking uniforms, but. You know, people loved them. People bought them. You still see people that wear, you know, that jersey around, stuff like that. And that's, of course, a big thing here is, hey, now teams can sell. You may feel like you've got your perfect jersey for your team and the player you want, but now we have alternative uniforms that you got to buy that jersey too.
Yeah, and it got me thinking, like, you know, what are some of the worst jerseys and logos that I've ever seen? And the jerseys, I think, are easier to come up with. Like that bumblebee monstrosity that the Steelers wear like once a year, and it's like their throwback jersey.
Yeah.
It's almost so ugly that it's pretty, if that makes any sense. Like, it's almost so bad that I enjoy watching it when they wear them. I mean, the Packers wear these throwback uniforms every year, once a year. They're like blue and gold. They're awful.
Yeah.
I can't stand those. The Ducks have gone, like the Anaheim Ducks,
ugly.
I think at one point had like maybe my favorite logo in pro sports, when they had like the Wild Wing logo and they were the Mighty Ducks, and you know, the Disney movies had just come out, and now
and then they flipped, you know,
they've moved to like this webbed foot, stupid duck foot that they have. It's just so bad. Like, I mean, some people, I think, they get in franchises, they're like, okay, we've had like the same logo and jersey for 15 years, like we've got to change it up just for the sake of changing it up. And that's not always the best move to make, I don't think.
No, I mean, look, there are obviously like iconic uniforms that should never change. I think a lot of them are in baseball. You know, I mean, you think of obviously, you know, the Yankees, Red Sox, even like the Tigers, Cubs, you know, some of those franchises that should never, ever change. And there's some of that in the NFL too. But I think it's almost like you're one or the other. Like, you know, Oregon is the trendsetter in terms of what they've got, like 50 different combos, right?
Right.
That's their thing. That's their brand. Their brand is to like have you guess and every week wonder what they're going to be. But, you know, I mentioned Ohio State, you know, Penn State, you know, it's the most plain uniform in sports. But to me, like, you know, it's Penn State when they come out on the field, because, you know, that's what they are. I mean, I think what you want is you want a uniform that stands the test of time, that is long term, and that people know exactly who you are when you step out there. And some of these, beyond the alternative uniforms, like, for example, if one of the ugliest things I can remember, you guys remember like the Maryland helmet?
Oh, yeah.
When they came out a few years ago, like it's like
the
flat,
state flag.
Yeah,
helmet.
It's the state flag. Like, it just looks idiotic, you know? But yeah, I think sometimes franchises and teams switch up when they shouldn't switch up. I don't know if I can, see if I can think of an example of something that was good. Well, you just mentioned the Ducks. I agree. I liked it before. I liked the Mighty Ducks thing before. I mean, they wanted to distance themselves from that, right? They want to. What do they just want to be like the grown up? We're just the Ducks.
We're not the Mighty Ducks anymore.
Yeah, you know.
We don't care about Disney.
Right, you know, but I agree. Sometimes, like with the Titans, I don't know. I didn't think it was that big of a change, so I didn't have a problem with it. I think they look fine. I do still think, like, to me, I think the Titans in the, you know, like the baby blue, I still like that a lot. I like the two-tone thing with, like, dark blue pants and the baby blue jerseys. And
see, I don't like that.
You do or don't?
I do not. I'm
not
the guy.
Like,
I like their navy jerseys with the white pants. I think that's the best look that they have.
Yeah.
I think that looks really good.
That looks good. I mean, to me, that's a uniform change that they've gone more to that, so that's probably the biggest change. But, like, it really wasn't that big of a change.
No.
Like, I didn't, you know, like, it's not like – you came out of there saying, oh, they're not going to look anything like that. You know, basically, they just sort of updated it, which I think is fine. And, of course, again, it's a marketing opportunity. And, hey, they put on a heck of an event on Broadway to unveil them. You know, that was fine. Some of these are – well, the Predators, I mean, when I got here, they still were wearing navy, right? Well, the navy helmets, I know.
Yeah, navy helmets.
And that – has gone away. But, like, I hope they may be tempted at some point to change it. Like, I hope they stick with what they have. I think they have a good uniform. So stick with it. And X number of years from now, you know, it's more of a, you know, it's just, you got to, just like anything in sports, you have to stack years together of either winning or whatever it is. And it's more of a tradition as you go through time. I hope that they keep what they have, you know.
I do too. The one, and real quickly before we take a break here and bring on Floyd, the one that I've never really understood the fascination with, the Cleveland Browns logo, where it's just like the helmet painted orange, and like, that's all it is. I'm just like, okay, like is this really the best we could come up with after, you know, 50 years of football in Cleveland? Like, you just got a helmet? Awesome. That's right. Awesome.
It's like the ugly Penn State.
Yeah, it's awful. When we come back, we'll be joined by Floyd Reese, former Titans GM and co-host of Jared and the GM. We'll get his thoughts on Jadeveon Clowney. Also, what should the Titans do as they move forward here in the offseason as we head into the draft? That's next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week we bring in our good friend Floyd Reese, former Titans GM and host of Jared and the GM in the Afternoons. Floyd, what's going on, my man? How's your social distancing coming along?
You know what? It's a struggle with Jared every day, but we're managing.
I imagine it is. You're taking one for the team. We all appreciate it.
Does he give you a good seat? Like, do you get like a, you know, like a good seat in there? Like, is he making it comfortable for you?
He does. He's got a great sofa. We sit there. He's got a couple of TVs, and we watch sports from 2006, and enjoy ourselves. So we're doing good.
Very good, very good. Well, Floyd, we've had a lot of conversation the last few days about Jadeveon Clowney, and obviously last week, you know, the Titans trade Jarrell Casey, they move him out to Denver, and every Titans fan just kind of expects and hopes that there's a corresponding move to go along with that, and a lot of people have connected the dots to Jadeveon Clowney. You hear reports that Clowney's, you know, asking for maybe $20 million per year. It remains to be seen whether or not he'll be interested in the Titans, whether or not he goes back to Seattle, maybe somewhere else. If you're the Titans, how do you view Jadeveon Clowney, and how much do you think he could help the Titans if he lands here in Nashville?
Well, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday. The thing that is unique here is that there's a conception that he is a prolific pass rush guy, and that's really not what he does. You know, we've got a couple of guys on the roster right now that have had more sacks than he has over the last couple of years. He's just not a great sack guy. He's a great athlete. He's disruptive. If there's an advantage that we have here, it's that Vrabel knows him as well as anyone. That may be good. That may be bad. I don't know. But he's oft injured. He is a little bit of a, he never seems to be happy kind of guy. But he is talented, and I would think if it was me, if you could get him on a 1 year, earn it and make your money kind of deal, then I could maybe see that. Again, I think the combination of Vrabel knowing him and Vrabel saying, okay, he's going to be fine, and him having to come in and earn it, not just give it to him, then, I would probably be willing. Other than that, I think I'd be a little bit hesitant. I'd back off.
If that's the case, Floyd, is there anyone else out there that you find intriguing? I mean, there's Marcus Golden, Everson Griffin, Derek Wolfe, some guys like that. Anyone that's sort of on that next tier that you think might be a good fit for this defense?
There are guys out there. I'm not sure there's anybody on the next level. Golden has been somebody that, TD has talked about a lot, seems to like him, has had a career probably similar to Beasley that we just signed. He's had a couple of 10-sack years, and he's had a couple of 2 or 3 sack years. So, would he be a plus? Would he help? Yeah, he probably would. Is he going to change? Is he going to turn around and win you 2 more games? No, I certainly can't say that. So I'm not sure there's anybody out there that is going to come in and be that real, real prolific guy. Now, that being said, if you've got one of those guys and you're in the NFL, I mean, you're going to be really, really hesitant to let that guy go because you realize how important they are.
Former Titans general manager and host of Jared and the GM, Floyd Reese, on the line with us. And Floyd, obviously you worked with Tom Brady. You've been around Tom Brady in New England. How surprised were you that he actually left New England? And then after that, how surprised were you that Tampa Bay ended up being the destination that he chose?
Yeah, surprise, surprise. I I was really surprised at both moves. I thought, and I said early in the year when this all started, I said, you know, in my opinion, he'll either sign there or retire. Given that, I think of all the options that he had and looking, you know, I was thinking, well, he might be looking for a spot to help his future. You know, he started that production company and all of those things. So I thought, well, maybe Southern California, L.A., be a good place for him. That being said, we had Greeny on the show the other day, and he said that the thing that maybe kind of struck me the most, which was, in his mind, this was strictly a football decision by Tom. And, you know, if that's the case, I can accept that. You know, I respect Tom enough, and if he thinks that is the best place for him to continue his career, then, you know, good luck to him. I hope it works out. I think it's I think there's going to be a heck of an adjustment period by everyone. You know, Bruce Arians, all of a sudden, who's been doing a certain style offense for however many years, is going to have to change a little bit. Tom Brady, who's been running a certain kind of offense for however many years, is going to have to adjust. And they're going to have to try to find something that pleases everybody and that can be executed by everybody and work. And I think that might be a little bit more of a struggle than people let on.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. Obviously, I mean, so much of the focus this upcoming season is going to be on Tampa Bay. But then I look at New England, Floyd, and I mean, they signed Brian Hoyer, which is great for Hoyer, and obviously he's been, you know, a reliable guy for a lot of his career, you know, with that franchise, but it kind of tells you that Jarrett Stidham is the way they're going. Are you surprised by that? I mean, I was honestly hoping like Cam and Belichick would unite and it would just be also just as fascinating to see, you know, what they were doing up there. I mean, what do you think about that quarterback situation right now?
Yeah, I mean, I am a little bit surprised. I don't know, you know, all I really know about Stidham is what we saw at Auburn. So I don't know what he has done in the league. They talk like they are excited about him. I think McCourty came out yesterday or the day before and said something along the lines of, you know, he really liked his poise and his maturity and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they've seen him play in two or three preseason games. You know, that's they're basing everything that's going on that. Now, you know, Bill and the staff there, they know what a quarterback needs to be doing and you know, how he should react to things and how they want him to react to things. But that doesn't mean, you know, when live bullets start that he's going to do all of that. And so it's a big question mark. And I think they're going to, you know, again, go through some real changes in how they do things and how they want things done. And it's going to be interesting if Stidham is the guy to see how that young quarterback reacts because, you know, the shoes he's filling are impossible to fill, you know. And what does that do to his relationship with the public, to his relationship with the team, to, you know, how they run the offense and what they do on defense?
Floyd, let's just say for the sake of argument that they're not able to sign Clowney. They still have money sitting out there. At that point, in your opinion, how much does re-signing Logan Ryan become a priority for the Titans?
You know, I could be completely wrong. I mean, I am a big Logan Ryan guy. I think he is so good for this team. And because of his pure, raw coverability, and by that I mean, you know, Logan's not quite as fast as he once was, and he was never really a great speed guy to begin with, but he was always so smart and in the right place and using the right technique and doing all the things correctly that he was able to excel. You know, as you get a little bit older, all of that is a little bit tougher. Now, that being said, I mean, we saw what he did for us last year. Blitzing. We saw what he did playing the run. We saw what he did playing over the slot. We saw him play outside. We saw him get beat a few times. But it's not going to be a shock to anybody if he lines up man for man on Still or one of these guys that is really fast if he gets beat deep. So, you know, we try not to let that happen. But he is a giant plus. And I think too, with Casey not being there any longer, I mean, his personality, his demeanor on defense is really going to be important to kind of keep, you know, that whole group together. Because right now they're strong. But, you know, Casey was a big influence. With him gone, you know, if Logan were not to be there for whatever reason, then, you know, I don't know where it falls from there.
No, I agree. And, you know, Delanie Walker, Mariota, yeah. we assume Wesley Woodyard. And I think Logan Ryan's, you know, real high on that list of guys who set the tone in there. Do you, if you're sitting there right now and you're John Robinson, are you kind of thinking on Logan Ryan, you know, that the market is a little bit maybe, you know, less or a little bit dry compared to maybe what he thought? I mean, do you feel like the price is coming down right now?
Well, I think he's going through a little bit of what Clowney's going through. You know, he jumped out and said something along the lines of, you know, he wasn't going to play unless it was for $10 million a year. Like Clowney wanted his 20 or 25 a year, whatever the number was. And that's obviously not there. You know, that being said, I think in my mind, if I could work out something with Logan so that he got his $10 million this year and then maybe decreased it, you know, a couple of years after that, to where if he's not the guy, that he can still play and help us and just be a third corner, for example, I think that would be a contract that maybe everybody could live with. So I would think I'd probably be kind of shooting at something like that. You don't want to, you know, he's been so good to you and he is so well respected. And, you know, if you could do anything to get him in there, you know, let him feel good about the contract, feel good about being back, and yet, you know, maybe not pay him all of the 10 a year he wants, then that's probably the closest to a win-win for everybody.
Former Titans general manager and co-host of Jared and the GM, Floyd Reese, has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Floyd, thanks so much for joining us, my man, and keep holding down the fort for us. We appreciate
it. Stay healthy, guys.
You too, man.
You, bud.
When we come back, how much are we worried about the leadership in the Titans locker room? Have they jettisoned too much of that? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad taking you through this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, I do want to pass something along really quick. This is kind of a cool story. Michael Martinez, who's an automotive news reporter covering Ford, Tesla, and other things for, I think, Time Magazine Person of the Year at some point, says Ford plans to build respirators, ventilators, and face shields in Michigan in partnership, planning on building about 1,000 respirators per month using F-150 seat fans, portable battery packs, and 3D-printed parts, 100,000 face shields per week. So good on Ford for stepping up during a time of crisis and trying to help out building respirators and ventilators and face shields and kind of helping out in a different way. You know, obviously they're known for the automotive industry, but helping out in the medical field, that's really cool to see by Ford.
I love it. And that's, you know, that's what we want to see more of, is this getting people together and coming up with creative ways to try to deal with this situation. So, good, yeah, good on Ford.
Joe, we were talking in the last segment to Floyd, and the leadership in the locker room came up. We were talking about Logan Ryan maybe coming back into the fold, and you look at what the Titans have done this offseason. Jarrell Casey is gone. Delanie Walker is gone. Logan Ryan at this point is unsigned and is a free agent still. Wesley Woodyard as well. I mean, there's a lot of leadership that's been a huge part of this team for years and years. I mean, Marcus Mariota as well. And we see this, and we see what's happening in the locker room. Do we worry that maybe the Titans have gotten rid of too much leadership? We talked about it yesterday a little bit. Like, I think sometimes this conversation in the world of sports when it comes to leadership maybe gets overblown a little bit. But I also think there is some credence to having a locker room that you have a core group of guys where everybody on the team knows, okay, these are the guys that are leading this team. These are the guys that I need to follow, and these are the guys that at the end of the day are going to hold everybody accountable. And I wonder if maybe the Titans have gotten rid of too much of that this offseason?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question. I think, you know, we'll see with Logan Ryan. I always thought of Logan Ryan and then Kevin Byard as definitely a partnership, you know, in that secondary. But also I think for the whole defense, those guys, you know, just very vocal guys and just natural leaders. And they've been a really good tandem in that way. So I think, you know, if Logan Ryan were to come back, I still think the defense would have a lot of, you know, a lot of the voice power that it has had, even though Jarrell Casey certainly was a leader and was a great player. I think if Logan Ryan comes back, you know, then it wouldn't change a lot. Wesley Woodyard also absolutely a leader. I mean, at this point, I would assume he won't be here next year. And that's a loss, too. You know, on the other side of the ball, I will say that one thing that has happened, and it's really changed, I think it changed a lot, even like last year, is that Derrick Henry has emerged as a guy. In his first 2 years, you know, Derrick Henry was the talented backup to DeMarco Murray, you know, kind of a quiet guy. Definitely did not like talking, you know, in terms of doing media stuff or really being vocal that way. But he also seemed like just a quiet guy in the room. And, you know, I think, one, you earn respect when you put your head down and work hard and you know, kind of demonstrate like a team approach to things. But I wouldn't have guessed necessarily that he would be a vocal guy in this locker room, but he really started to become that last year. So I think that does help when you have him emerge. You know, Mariota, I mean, look, the guy was universally loved in the locker room. I think Tannehill, you know, because of how he played, quickly gained respect. And I think the way he handled that transition too, the way he and Mariota still had a good, you know, good working relationship. I mean, he's in a good position to lead. But, you know, Conklin was a really good locker room guy. He's moving on now. And Delanie Walker, no question.
Yeah.
You know, a guy who pro's pro in that room for a long time. And a guy like Casey, who went through all these lean times with the Titans and came out on the other end. And there's value in that, too.
Joe, you would be able to answer this question, I think, better than me, just from being around the team every day. Like, to the outside, and I think to the fan base, Taylor Lewan is by far the most vocal player on the Titans. He's got the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. He's always up for an interesting soundbite. And, you know, he's one of the highest paid players in the room. And you would think, naturally, there's some leadership there that players would follow with Taylor Lewan. But then, of course, you got some of the off-field stuff, the suspension last year. I wonder, like, from your vantage point, how loud does Taylor Lewan's voice speak in that locker room in terms of the leadership he has with that group, do you think?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think Lewan is one of those things that it depends on which guy you're talking about in the locker room. And by the way, I didn't mention when we were going through offensive guys, another captain who's back is Ben Jones.
Yes.
You know, Ben Jones he's the leader. He's the locker room leader guy of the offensive line. Now, you know, Taylor Lewan is, I do think that Taylor Lewan naturally in some ways is as good a leader as there is in that locker room. I mean, just emotionally, you know, I don't think there's anybody who expresses their emotions more. I don't think there's anyone who would be as likely to jump in to defend a teammate. We've seen that. And, of course, we've seen Lewan get penalized and things like that too. But still, there's a respect that you get when you're that guy. Someone messes with one of your guys, who's going to be in someone's face first? I would pick him. And, you know, on the field, in games, you know, I think he's the most emotional and vocal guy on the team. Now, he also has obviously kind of like an off-the-wall personality, and he does weird stuff in the locker room, and he's a constant presence, which I think, you know, sometimes maybe that isn't, you know, the cup of tea of every guy, you know. But it's a really interesting question, because you think back, Taylor Lewan was a captain I guess that was his second season. I think Mike Mularkey took that away from him, and I don't know all the circumstances of that, but he was a guy who's identified very early. It's a natural leader, and I think he's matured too over time. So it's one of those things that, yeah, you mentioned the suspension. That's going to hurt that sort of thing. You know, obviously, no one's going to say anything, but you can bet there were guys in that locker room who weren't very happy that Tara Lewan is going to miss the first month. And, you know, why did you not, whatever the situation, and he explained it, but why did you not, you know, cross the T's and dot the I's and make sure that, you know, that you don't get in trouble for this? So that's a setback. I do think moving forward, he could be one of the leaders of the team. But there's just, you know, that personality can be a little too in your face at times.
I wonder defensively, because we talked about Logan Ryan maybe gone. We'll see what happens with his situation. Jarrell Casey now gone. You know, Wesley Woodyard, we presume, will be gone. I wonder when you look around in the defensive room, the other person that's gone that I wonder how much of an impact it has, Dean Pease. He's not going to be there next year, and he's a guy that has a wealth of experience, I think really popular with his players. And obviously Vrabel, I think, really commands the respect of that locker room as well, and is going to have a much bigger role defensively from a play-calling perspective, we would assume, as we head into this next year. But I do wonder, like, how much are the Titans going to miss Dean Pease defensively, not just from a play-calling perspective, but also from the experience and the leadership he provides that way. Because I think these core players, namely Casey and Logan Ryan, Woodyard, some of these guys that have been around the league for a long time, there was a big-time respect there between those guys and Dean Pease.
Yeah, no, it's a big loss. And again, we've talked about if you just compare this team at the end of the season to now, it is weaker without Conklin, without Casey. It's weaker without Dean Pease, too. I mean, you have to always mention that aspect of it. I mean, he's a great defensive coordinator for a long time in this league. And I think that Dean Pease, I mean, he's like the first guy Vrabel reached out to. Vrabel talked him out of retiring. There's a reason for that. You know, I think Vrabel knew he had a chance to get a great D coordinator in here. And I think Pease and Vrabel were a really good kind of mix of personalities. We know what Vrabel's personality is out there. It's very fiery, very vocal. Pease, very, you know, I don't want to, you know, this is meant in the nicest possible way, very grandfatherly, you know. Yeah. I mean, you know, kind of just a real gentle personality and positive and upbeat. A guy that, but those guys loved playing for him because of that, but also because they thought he was like a mad scientist and the stuff he came up with. So, man, that's a massive, massive loss, and there's no way around that.
When we come back, the replacement for Tom Brady at quarterback in New England, I think, is going to be between three very unlikely candidates. We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.